Hi, I'm Richard Campbell from .NET Rocks and Runez Radio, and I'm here to talk about Dev Intersection. And with me today, my friend Doug Seven.
Thank you, sir.
And we've been just discussing how long we've been doing this stuff together, because it's been 10 plus years.
Just before I had gray here.
None of us were as gray.
Exactly.
In fact, I think of that picture of you, not quite as gray.
No, not so much.
But I've heard that you have the coolest job at Microsoft.
I would say so I started at Microsoft, my first day at Microsoft was about 16 years ago.
Wow.
And I've left twice.
Mm-hmm.
I've come back, so I'm on my third tour of duty. And in all of that time, I've finally landed on the best job at Microsoft.
Because you have gadgets.
I have stuff.
I have tanks
and toys and blinky lights, and I get to kind of do anything I want.
So do you throw this all under the Internet of Things blanket, or could you call these PCs? I mean, how much clout do they have?
You could call some of these PCs.
Mm-hmm.
In the context of Internet of Things,
right.
All of these could play a role. So
sure.
Today I brought a bunch of toys. We're going to talk about IoT. So what's an IoT conversation without toys?
Without a tank. Okay.
So we'll set the tank aside for
okay,
a second.
Okay, good.
But I brought a bunch of devices that sort of represent a spectrum of IoT hardware that you might work with.
Right.
And we go off, like at Dev Intersection, we'll do a lab where we give people a chance to have some exposure to these devices. And they really kind of run a spectrum of what we sort of internally refer to as sort of little brain to big brain.
Oh,
and so
cool.
When you ask about, are these just little computers, big brain ones are probably little computers.
Okay.
Right. Little brain ones are really just microcontrollers, are really single purpose, tiny little devices. So if you think about something very small.
That is really small. That's like the size of a stamp.
This is actually an Arduino Pro Mini, and it's got a little 18 mega microprocessor on it. So this is something that you would wire up and connect to, a sensor or some sort of device, and it would be ideally, a single purpose.
Would it have Wi-Fi on it or wired connection?
This does not. You should certainly hook it to something, and probably you probably hook this to something larger or connected to a wired thing. For instance, you could use this in a car,
right.
Where this has a sensor in a car that's then connected to a network within the car.
Okay.
But really, this is runs a real-time operating system on a little tiny microcontroller chip, and is really good for doing one thing.
What do you program that in?
So something like this you'd program in C.
Okay.
Maybe. And I'll get to that in a second.
Yeah.
Because we do some stuff in the labs that we're going to do at the conference that we sort of abstract away the particulars of the hardware to make it easier to work with all of the hardware.
I want to use the skills I have, right? I haven't programmed in C since college.
Yeah, well, so. There's that. but as you move up the spectrum, you start to get into, bigger Arduino boards, but ultimately it's still, if you look really close, it's still the same 18 mega
right.
microprocessor or a variant
there.
Of the same one.
Right.
But then you have some more onboard hardware to do some prototyping with. Think of these as prototyping boards.
Right. These are not things that you would ship. This is what you experiment with.
Hopefully. Yeah.
Hopefully
you would.
They're pretty cost effective. These are less than $100.
Yeah, these are $30-$40 depending on what you're getting. And as you move up the spectrum into the bigger brain ones, you get into things like one of my personal favorites, which is the particle photon.
That's a great name.
It is a great name, isn't it? This is a $20 board.
Wow.
And on it is an ARM processor.
Right.
With a Wi-Fi system on a chip and a little antenna. So this is pre-configured out of the box for $20, internet connected.
Wow.
And it is
an IP address for $20.
You connect it to your Wi-Fi and it starts connecting to the cloud. And similarly, it's our Arduino-like programming experience, but we also have an abstraction that we can do on top of this using some open source technology.
Nice.
Then we move up the stack and we get into things like an Intel Edison, which is an x86 processor, also Wi-Fi.
So now we're talking
on a chip.
tiny PCs.
Tiny PC with Wi-Fi that can connect and do all kinds of cool things. This is really meant for prototyping wearables.
Right.
Stick in your pocket, do some cool stuff.
Yeah. .NET?
I don't think there's the onboard capability for .NET. But
right.
Again, with some abstractions, we can do some interesting things.
That's cool.
And then we get into now, so with that, we start getting into these sort of almost microcomputers. The next two are actually kind of the same. The Arduino Uno. This is very much like the Arduino Uno that I showed earlier. Same layout, so you can all the shields work on it and all the different things, except it has on here an Atheros microprocessor. So this runs Linux.
Oh.
And has Wi-Fi system on the chip. This is basically something like you would find in a Wi-Fi router, the chip that you'd find in a Wi-Fi router.
Awesome.
So you can actually run Linux on here, and it's got the microcontroller chip on it and a bridge to talk between the two. So you can run on board like a Node.js application that then talks to that microcontroller and can interact. And this can
be a little web server.
A little tiny server. And the The Lenine 01 is basically a different form factor of the exact same thing. In fact, there's a processor under there that's
okay,
the same.
Yeah, it's like they've cut the board and stacked
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's a little bit different. And this one actually is closer to something you would roll right out into production. Obviously, this is a prototyping board, but you could very easily convert this into something you would roll into production. Then we get into the boards that run Windows. And so we have the Raspberry Pi 2 and the Mintelboard Max. Mm-hmm. Raspberry Pi 2, an ARM processor. Mintelboard Max, an x86 processor.
Right.
Both of which are capable of running Windows 10 IoT Core. So these can be little tiny Windows machines.
Nice.
And these actually are, I would call them microcomputers in a way. They have USB and they have HDMI outputs. And you know, Cat5,
Ethernet,
and so
yeah,
these are
all the things.
These really are little tiny computers.
Right.
These you could in fact run things with graphical user interfaces.
Yeah, that's a heatsink. So.
Exactly.
You're really getting into computers.
X86 and these are heatsink.
Yeah.
but we've done some cool things. There's an open source framework called Johnny5 that works in a very interesting way, which will lead me into the tank.
Okay.
Everybody wants to hear about this.
You got to get the tank.
But Johnny5 is a framework that you can run in Node.js. So you can build a Node.js application that provides an abstraction to the boards and just gives you a common framework for interacting with the boards, regardless of whether it's an Arduino, a Particle, a Raspberry Pi, whatever.
So it's all JavaScript then?
It's all in JavaScript and all in Node. And what you end up with is a very common IoT pattern, which is the hub and spoke model.
Okay.
So now I have a Node.js app that's running on some sort of hub device that is capable of running a Node application that then over its network can talk to a bunch of different spoke devices that are smaller and single purpose devices, but that can communicate over the network and do some interesting things. So the code actually runs on the hub.
Right.
And then over TCP or Bluetooth or whatever protocol is correct, you start talking to these devices and getting information out of them or sending them command and control. So very interesting stuff where you really quickly switch out different hardware and use different things, but the code is very portable, very transportable. It works in a very common IoT model.
And yeah, now you can start switching around hardware, reduce cost, reduce size, you know, what do you need to do?
Exactly.
Okay.
Well, and it gives you just the freedom to try different things.
Right.
You know, I can have my code running, and in fact, in a development mode, my laptop is my hub.
Right.
My Node is running on my laptop.
I don't bother going to this until I'm ready to deploy.
Well, and it's talking over the network to a bunch of these tiny little devices.
Right.
So now I can, you know, put this in the back of a light switch or in my car.
I just like that I don't have to make a commitment to hardware before I even start.
Exactly.
Right? That I can, now I've got a common set of skills, try all the different hardware, decide the one that makes the most sense for you. Skill set's the same.
And I know Node, and I get to use Node, and I'm happy about
right.
that. Right. And I get all of what Node has to offer. And the abstraction of the board is fantastic, and it makes it just a lot easier to work with.
That's powerful.
Now we get to the tank.
What about this tank?
So
it's
tank,
very cute.
The tank, this tank is actually only really three parts.
Okay.
There's the frame. Inside the frame, there is some motors. There's one motor on each side.
Right.
To control each.
Drive the treads.
Each of the tread alignments. And then there's another board in there, and I wish I brought my tools to open this up, but there's another board in there that's basically this board,
Arduino.
The Arduino, with a couple of added components to it. So in fact,
because you kind of need a controller motor
right.
for the motors.
So the motor controllers have been added onto the board. The board's called the Romeo BLE. So not only does it have the motor controllers, but it also has Bluetooth on board.
Nice.
So now what I've got is an Arduino board with motor controllers and Bluetooth. And so now using something called the Windows Remote Arduino Bridge, I can build a Windows Universal Web Platform app.
Mm-hmm.
So in Windows 10, I can build my Universal Web app and connect to this device over Bluetooth. So just pair my phone or my laptop to this over Bluetooth. And now I can build a Universal app that can talk to the Arduino board and give the Arduino board instructions. So now I have an interface that allows me to tell it to move the right tread or the left tread, backwards, forwards, all those things. And so now I can have in my Universal Web app control over the physical world.
That's really interesting.
It's super fun.
Now comes the sensor array you'll have to add to that as well, and so forth. I mean, nice to be able to move, but it's nice to be able to see,
exactly.
too.
So, like, you know, because it is just really inside a standard Arduino, the prototype headers are laid out exactly the same. So
right.
any shield that I have for my weather shield, whatever, fits right on top of it, or I can start wiring up different sensors. So, for example, right here on top is a little opening. Turns out, coincidentally, it's the exact right size for a servo that you can mount a turret on and turn side to side. Weird.
Who would do that?
Weird.
It's the strangest thing.
Yeah, I don't know why you do that on a tank. So it gives you just a ton of options for what you can do, and it's all with this prototyping hardware. And then you have options with languages like I said with Node,
yep.
or with .NET, so in C#, doing stuff in the Universal Windows platform where I can control this, the hardware.
Call down to that. So use your existing skills, be able to build a small device like that. I start thinking about pipe inspections.
Oh, and, all kinds
and, you know, all kinds of interesting.
It's so funny. You go to practical stuff. I think about robot battles.
You think about robot
like,
battles.
I'm just like, how can
You're
I weaponize
that guy.
This thing? But I mean, to each their own.
Well,
I'm not here to judge.
Not. Maybe it's I have pipes I'm worried about.
Perhaps.
That's
perhaps.
What it actually is about.
Perhaps.
We did a hackathon together, or really it was a workshop.
Somewhere in between.
In Scottsdale.
Yeah, somewhere in between.
All I remember yeah. is people lined up out the door.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
And we had to do wristbands and so forth. Two shows coming up.
Mm-hmm.
October 14th to 16th in Amsterdam.
Yep.
And you're going to be doing that same
we'll
workshop.
We'll be there the night of the 15th, I believe it is.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be doing the workshop.
And then October 26th to 29th, Dev Intersection at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas.
Correct.
And you will be doing that workshop, a similar workshop?
Again, yes, we'll do it there.
And so all of this hardware or specific
no,
pieces?
No, what we did, so it's you know, a lot of it is, you know, what hardware do we have, what are we bringing, right?
Right.
When we did this in Scottsdale, we actually had kits with the Arduino UN, which
right.
was really interesting just because it's Arduino, which is really common.
Mm-hmm.
It gave people a really easy platform as their first hardware they ever had exposure. We had a lot of people who were .NET developers who, you know, they had never played with physical hardware other than a, you know, a server.
Right. right.
And so it's a really great platform because it's really, you know, easy to get a hold of and access. What we've started doing for the next couple of labs, the ones we have coming up, is the Particle Photon. Just because it's such a great little board.
It's so
it's tiny and it's Wi-Fi enabled and it's just
I want
a
it with barbecue
board.
Sauce, right? Like
yeah.
it's food.
Put them in a bowl and start
You're going to lose them. They're so small.
They're fantastic and it's just a great little board to prototype with. And so we'll be bringing these to both of those workshops.
Okay.
And anybody who's coming to the workshop, we'll equip them with the hardware,
mm-hmm.
and we'll spend a few hours going through and building out connected scenarios. So how do you connect that to Azure? How do you start driving not only telemetry ingestion and getting sort of insight and visualization to what's happening in the physical world, but also how do you send command and control back? When
right.
something happens in the physical world, how do you write the code that responds to that
to actually interact.
And make something happen. And the example scenario we work around is stuff that would ultimately kind of lead you into building maybe a home automation solution or something
right.
like that. The concepts and the skills you learn could apply to anything.
Sure. You just got to think broadly enough.
Exactly.
What was that out there?
You know, raw telemetry ingestion, insights, you know, visualizations, and command and control back out.
Absolutely. Doug, thank you so much for coming to talk to me. Really exciting stuff. And I hope you'll join us at Dev Intersection, both in Amsterdam and Vegas. In Amsterdam, that's October 14th to 18th in Amsterdam, and then the 26th to the 29th in Las Vegas. See you there.